Good Wednesday afternoon, Metropolitan Indianapolis. It's 4:30, and you're listening to 91.9 FM, the home of unpredictable music. Speaking of unpredictable music, Hal, you can look around. And the Indy's Trusted Servant Show. What is the Indy's Trusted Servant? Well, that's me, yours truly, Danny O'Malley. I do customer service training and keynote speaking about customer service and organizational culture. I learned all of that at the hands of the master, my late father, Joe O'Malley, at two different grocery companies back starting in the early 60s. If you want to learn more about that, why, give me a call at 317-413-9062. Join clients like the Indianapolis Indians and Daymar and increase your culture and your customer service. What is the Indy's Trusted Servant Show? I like to describe it as lively local small biz and community talk where you can feel the pulse of Indy. And today's guest is my pleasure to introduce to you one of my former students back from the mid-70s at Cathedral High School, Mr. Hal Yagi. And Hal Yagi is the owner of the oldest bar, the oldest existing bar in Indiana, the Slippery Noodle Inn. So we're going to talk a little bit about Hal and a lot about the Slippery Noodle Inn. Hal, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
It's good to have you. It's been a long time since we've spoken. I've been in the place several times before Colts games, but I've never been able to spot you. But we all look different than we did back then, right?
Yeah, you know, that plus I'm normally running around like crazy on Colts days.
I believe that. Well, it's quite a hangout during the Colts, and we might come back to all of that. But I always like to ask my guests to tell the folks what they did before they ran the Noodle. I mean, did you go right from graduation at Cathedral to working at the Noodle, or did you go to college? What happened? What transpired in between times?
After Cathedral, I went up to Purdue, went to school at Purdue for a while, ended up getting married, getting a job at Eli Lilly and Company.
Yes, did you graduate from Purdue?
I did not graduate.
Okay, but you got a job at Lilly doing what?
I got a job as a janitor to start out with.
Okay.
That lasted a grand total of about 9 months, and then they moved me into the computer room because...
Not surprising.
They had installed HP computers, but they had nobody that knew how to run HP computers, and I literally sat down and read the manuals and figured out how to program this mainframe computer from that.
Well, you took the initiative, in other words.
Correct. They had been completely IBM up to that point, and HP was new for them, but they'd made them a deal, and they bought the computer. And
so what year would that have been, late 70s?
1978.
Okay. That's interesting right there. So how long were you with Lilly's?
7.5 years.
So now we're into 1985, 86, right?
Right. I did Lilly's and the Noodle both for like 6 months trying to figure out
which way to go.
Well,
this was the end of your time at Lilly's?
This was the end of my time at Lilly's.
Funny, I was teaching at Cathedral and doing O'Malley food markets and figuring out which way to go, you know, so there's some similarities there. So let's see. Now let's go back to the Noodle's history for a minute. I saw by your bullet points you sent me, the Slippery Noodle Inn was opened in 1850.
It was opened as 1850 as the Tremont House.
The Tremont House. Do you know what the name Tremont meant?
No, I do not.
I don't blame you. So your dad buys the Noodle in 63. Do you know how many owners it had in between times?
There was about 8 owners in between. It was still open during Prohibition. It went from Moore's Saloon to Moore's Restaurant back.
Well, how'd you say open during Prohibition? Do you know?
They made whiskey and beer down in the basement, and
it was a speakeasy. I knew we had to have had them here.
We had them. There was a lot of them.
That's great. Your dad came along and bought it in 63. Had he worked there before?
No, Dad was actually a plant manager for PR Mallory & Company.
The printing company.
No. His part was actually the timer switches for washing machines.
Oh, okay.
Which is something that's long gone in today's world.
So, although he was in manufacturing.
He was in manufacturing.
Yeah, okay.
But he had been told that he was going to lose his eyesight due to diabetes and that he needed to be looking for another occupation or just to be prepared. I've got two older brothers, and my older brothers wanted to own a bar. So Mom and Dad started looking around and trying to find a bar that they could buy, with the game plan being that my brothers would run it and Mom and Dad would end up working there some and hopefully making some money off of it.
So at that time, you were only what? How old?
I was six.
You were six. Yeah, you were a young kid. So your dad bought the bar in '63, and it, leaping ahead a little bit, you said it sat how many when he bought it? What was the capacity for the bar?
Oh, they had the front bar room. We had there were five booths that sat four people each and 13 bar stools.
So about 50 people.
Yeah,
could get the Slippery Noodle in. And how many can get in there now?
A little over 600.
A little over 600. So you've taken up a little more space on the block, a little at a time,
we've
right?
We've expanded several times. We've tried doing it in different little increments so that it wasn't too much at once.
Yeah, and almost snuck up on people.
And none of it was planned. It was all just, oh, we need this space, so we'll take over this space now. The back building where the main stage is used to be, when I was growing up, it was an art studio.
Okay. Was it attached to the building?
No, they were two separate buildings that we attached together.
Okay.
We built a walkway between them. There was an old public restroom between the buildings back before.
An outhouse?
Like what they have in Europe, where it's just walking down the street and rainwater catch toilets and public restroom, because you didn't have indoor plumbing back then.
Okay. All right. Wow. Interesting stuff. So you, by 1986 or so? No? Right?
Well, I took over the very end of 84 when my father passed away.
He passed away in 84. What happened to your brothers? Are they still there or what?
No. Both of them are retired now. My one brother, Bill, lasted a little over a year. And then his wife and kids decided that he needed to not be working nights and everything. So
understandable.
He ended up becoming an investment banker and one of the founders of Traub & Company, which was an old investment firm here in town.
Okay.
My other brother worked off and on up through about 1971.
So even before you got involved, they were long gone.
Okay, yeah.
So your dad bought the bar hoping that they could run it, but neither one of them turned out to run it. But then there was a gap between that and you coming on board, right?
And Mom and Dad ran it as a lunch counter. Back then, Union Station was an active Union Station.
Good place for lunch between trains.
We had, passenger trains coming through. There was a lot of freight trains, a lot of railroad workers.
Yep.
The wholesale district where all the other bars and nightclubs and restaurants are now, we're all wholesalers, so those people had to have some place to go to lunch.
You probably served some of my dad's former produce suppliers.
Oh, sure.
I can remember my dad taking me to, my dad had this little store in Broderup in the mid-50s. I was 8, 9 years old, and I had to get up at 5 in the morning and ride down there in a pickup truck with him, and he would argue with those guys on that produce market. Those had to be customers or viewers, too. Next generation, I'm friends with their sons, and they're selling us, bananas and, all kinds of produce. Unbelievable stuff. So your dad, I didn't realize he had passed that long. I do remember when you were at Cathedral, you telling me that your dad owned the Noodle, which I had not heard of up to that point, and that he was blind. So before you got involved and after your brothers left, how did he handle, how did that work? Or do you know?
No, because even though I was young, I still stopped down there to help him sweep, clean, just keep the place going.
Yeah.
As I said, they ran it as a lunch counter, so they closed at 6 o'clock at night.
Of course,
Most part, Indianapolis closed at 6 o'clock at night back then.
That's true. That's right. That's right. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. So it wasn't like it is now.
No, it wasn't a nightclub. They had already ended live music. They quit live music back in the early 60s.
Okay, got it. Yeah, yep. Yeah. It's hard to imagine if you are not at least as old as Hal, certainly as old as I am, what Indianapolis was like back then in downtown. Wasn't much going on.
No.
We are going to take an underwriter break, and then we'll be back with Hal Yeagy, the owner of the oldest bar in Indiana, the Slippery Noodle Inn. We want to thank our underwriter for the show. That's Fabric Care Dry Cleaner at 5760 West Washington out by the old airport. Fabric Care does all kinds of dry cleaning. They've got a laundromat on site. that's open 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. They do pickup and home delivery in the metro area twice a week. And if you want to learn more about Fabric Care, why, give my good friend James Belt a call at 214-1288. That's 214-1288. Or go to Facebook and type in Fabric Care. We also want to tell you about the host for the studio here on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, and that is My Pet Carnivore. It's a pet food distribution warehouse where Paul and Suzanne and their very busy staff distribute healthy, frozen dog and cat food to dog and cat food owners, believe it or not, in 48 states. So this must be some pretty good stuff. Next week's guest will be Aaron Story of an organization called Elevate Indianapolis. So we're looking forward to having Aaron. He's also a fellow Indianapolis Rotary member with me. So back to Hal Yagi and the Slippery Noodle Inn. And the growth of the Slippery Noodle Inn over time and what it's become today. You guys, so you took over in 84. What, were they still just closing at 6 o'clock in 84? Because downtown was beginning to come back.
I pushed the envelope and started closing at like 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
So still no big music scene yet.
No music scene. My mom was still working down there. She was still doing the cooking. While during the interim, when I was working at Lily's, there was a bartender working the daytime, and then I would come in and relieve him when I got off of work. I ended up hiring one employee, and the two of us started remodeling what became what we still call the old music room, where we first started music, and we had live music starting by September of 85.
85, okay. Downtown is slowly starting to perk up, right?
And
I had the Colts by now.
We had the Colts. Dad actually passed away in between their first and second game, so I buried his season ticket.
Right?
I buried his season tickets with him that year.
Oh man, that is tough. That was one of the highlights of my life was the Colts coming here. I mean, I was so pumped up. O'Malley Food Markets had a suite for 5 years, and we brought. This is off the subject. 1 week we bring our store managers and their wives. Next week, the meat managers and their wives, and it was a big deal. After 5 years, it kind of ran its course and was getting too expensive, but it was fun. And is a good example of why the Slippery Noodle has gone from seating 50 people to up to 600 people, because more and more stuff is happening around you, right, all this time. So you're saying when by the time you took over in the mid-80s, it was your mom and you and one guy?
Mom and me and one guy.
And one guy. Okay. And you started bringing music in end
of 1985, we started doing live music again.
Because you're a music fanatic, right?
I've always been a music fanatic.
Did you take my Beatles mini course week at Cathedral?
I'm sure I did.
You probably did. That was a lot of fun.
Memory's not quite what it used to be.
Well, whose is? Mine is pretty doggone good for a guy my age, but it's not as good as it used to be. So the day the Slippery Noodle serves lunch and dinner,
We do lunch and dinner. I kind of laugh. We serve more food than most McDonald's do, and dollar-wise. But everybody thinks of us as a nightclub. They don't think of us as a restaurant. Unless you're there just for lunch and you don't even know that we're open at night or that we have music.
And you still have all those workers from Lily and all those places, right?
Lily's, Anthem, Rolls Royce. I mean,
Farm Bureau.
We do a huge lunch business.
Yeah, because downtown is still and continues to happen on a greater level than ever. Tell us about the menu there. I mean, is it sports bar food? Is it upscale? Is it a little less than upscale? Tell us a little bit about the menu.
It's traditionally bar food. I mean, it's tenderloins and cheeseburgers
and
wings. But we also have probably one of the best fillets downtown for the price point.
Really?
I'll put it up against virtually any of the steakhouses downtown.
I have to think about that because I'm a big steak guy.
At half the price.
Okay. I might bring my wife in there some night now that you mentioned that.
But, I mean, we do all kinds of catered events and special events and the menu's really too large for what the place is because, I mean, we've got chicken Alfredo.
Oh, okay. A little upscale.
Chicken broccoli Alfredo and things like that that are on the menu, and BLTs. And
well, how big is the staff now?
We normally average right around 65 employees.
And on a day of a Colts game, would all 65 employees be there?
Probably 50 of them.
Yeah, okay. If you've never been in there 2 hours before a Colts game, well, maybe you get there 4 hours before a Colts game and you might get a seat, right?
There is tables turnover, and that's what we try telling everybody. If you can't find a seat yet, stand around for a few minutes, because most of the people running in, especially on game days, they're running in, they're eating, they're
maybe
getting
go
up
back
and
to the
leaving.
Tailgate, whatever. Yeah, and I've seen that happen, by the way. It does turn over pretty well, but boy, it is sometimes hard to move in there, which is what you want, right?
What keeps us going.
Well, let's talk about the music scene a little bit. Now, when you bought the Noodle, you said that you loved music of all types, right?
Yes.
Was there a particular, you've kind of settled in jazz now, right?
Blues.
Blues, okay. You familiar with Clarksville, Mississippi?
Oh, yes.
A friend of mine, a late friend of mine, his son has one of the biggest blues bands in Clarksville, Mississippi. Grew up here. You ever heard the name Steve Kolbus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you more about him after the show, but he's really big into that. He sent me a couple of his CDs, and they're knocking them dead down there, and that's blues headquarters, right? Would you say you've got the biggest blues venue in Indianapolis? I think you might.
Yes, by far.
By far. Does the Chatterbox still do blues?
They do, yeah. They do more jazz.
More jazz.
But they only seat 75 people.
Right, right. Very tight, too. Very tight. So it's the live blues 7 nights a week. What are the hours?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we start at 7:30. We've backed up our times and are starting earlier because it seems like people are wanting to be able to go out earlier and get home earlier.
True.
So we start at 7:30 in the early part of the week and at 8 o'clock in the latter part of the week.
And how long does the music run?
Till 11:30 in the early part of the week and then until 1 a.m. in the latter part of the week.
And at what times the bar close on the weekend?
Typically, we'll close a little after 2 a.m.
Is there a cutoff when you have to close?
3 a.m.
It's 3 a.m. So you'll just stay open as long as you're busy till 2 a.m. Yeah. If you're not busy, you'll close a little before, right?
And generally, there's two bands. We have two stages. So on Fridays and Saturdays, there's typically two bands playing.
Okay.
And one will be playing and one will be on break. And then when the one goes on break, the next
band starts. So it's pretty continuous music.
So it's
not like a half-hour band break.
No.
That's nice to know. I did not know that.
And we'll do that on some of the Thursdays, too, for some of the bigger conventions for, like, FDIC. And I think we did it last week for the Combine.
Okay.
Or a few weeks ago for the Combine.
You know, I've never been to the Combine. I see it on TV all the time. You know, some of these conventions or the Combine, I guess you could call it a convention, they bring so many people to town, it's incomprehensible, you know?
People do not realize what a convention-based city we are.
It's huge. Interestingly enough, at the Rotary a couple of months ago, we had the guy that runs the airport, and he was talking about this big airport convention that's coming. You're aware of that.
Yeah.
You guys,
it's been.
It's already been here.
Yes.
Okay. That had to be a big thing, right?
It wasn't a lot of people, but they brought a lot of the people down.
Okay.
So we're one of the highlights.
You guys are kind of like San Elmo's. You got to go there, right?
It's go get your steak and shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's and then come over and
go listen to music.
Have some fun with us. So.
That's really cool. Do you have any of your kids working at the bar now?
My oldest and my youngest, which are my two boys. Of the five kids, the two of them have both worked for me.
You got any retirement plans? I'm getting personal here.
Working on it. I keep taking more and more time off, and they keep doing more and more. So
good.
We'll see how that works out.
Well,
one of them's worked for me for over 20 years, and the other one's worked for me for over 10 years. So
that's great. Well, I'm a big family business guy. It's hard to get the thing into the third generation for a lot of reasons. We sold our company before the third generation because there were 15 grandkids, and we figured they're probably all going to want to do something different. Right, you know, and that turned out to be the case. So that's a hats off to you and your sons if that works out for you, and I hope it does. Okay, we're going to take our last underwriter break. talk about next week's show and thank our host for the studio. Our underwriter is Fabric Care Dry Cleaners at 5760 West Washington out by the old airport. They do all kinds of dry cleaning. They have a laundromat on site that's open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. They do pickup and home delivery in the metro area twice a week. And if you want to learn more about Fabric Care, give my good friend James Belt a call at 241-1288. That's 241-1288. Or check out Fabric Care on Facebook. We want to thank the host for the studios of 91.9 FM and all that unpredictable music and the Indy's Trusted Servant Show, and that is My Pet Carnivore, pet food distribution warehouse on South Shelby Street in Fountain Square, where Paul and Suzanne and their very busy staffs distribute frozen dog and cat food to dog and cat food owners only, not stores, in 48 states. So I just got to assume this stuff works as hard as the people around here work to get it out to the folks. Man, the trucks come in and out of here, and these people are moving around quite a bit. So now, next week's show will be Aaron Story with a fellow Indianapolis Rotarian with Elevate Indianapolis. And we're going to talk about all the good stuff that they do for the city of Indianapolis. So back to Hal Yagi with the Slippery Noodle Inn, the oldest bar in Indiana. It seems like his dad might have been the ninth or tenth owner of the Noodle, which opened in 1850 as the Tremont Inn. What are some of the challenges you face? We've got all this great convention business coming in, right? That's built-in business for you guys, and you guys have earned it because you've been there and you've built the model and you've built the mark. You know, you built it. So great. What are the challenges you got?
The first one's trying to keep the building together.
It's old.
It's a building that's 160 plus years old.
Yep.
And it requires a lot of upkeep and a lot of maintenance. And it was built long before you had indoor plumbing, indoor lighting, air conditioning, all the fun things that you've got to have anymore.
Right.
So it's a lot of upkeep on the building. Other than that, the hardest other part I'd say is probably staffing at times. It'll run in cycles on us. We'll hire a group of waits and they'll be with us for like 8 years, and then most of the time they're going to college, and finally one of them will break loose after they've graduated 3 years later.
Do you hire a lot of kids?
Younger kids.
Like teenagers?
No, not teenagers. You got to be at least 18.
Okay. You mean somebody will get out of high school, work for you a while, save enough money to go to college kind of thing.
Or right? They'll be going to college at the same time.
Right.
End up graduating, but then they're making a lot of money, so they don't want to go into their chosen field.
That could happen.
At introductory, at low rates, they're making more money than what they can with their degree, but eventually they figure out they're getting older and they have to go to work with their degree.
Yeah, they might have a wife that wants them at home at night. or whatever, right?
But I've also got a lot of employees that have been with me for well over 25 years,
I'm glad you brought
just surprising.
That is tremendous. We had a lot of that at O'Malley Food Markets, and a lot of lifelong friendships evolved from all of that. I'm a hats off to you for that, because that speaks well of you and your family. It's not easy to have people stick with you for 25 years in this day and age. So
no,
good.
It's not. But what they can bring to the table with just their overall knowledge of everything is wonderful.
You do have a lot of regular customers. That's the lunch people, right?
Yeah.
From all the Lily's and all the places around there. So it's very part of the reason is because they see the same people in there, right?
Plus, even with the conventioners, they'll come in, like with the combine I mentioned a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And or FDIC. My manager's been with me since 91 and was a customer prior to that, and he has all these guys' personal cell phone numbers and everything. So it's like during the combine, Ryan Deem was calling him to say that some of his friends were coming down, hey, take care of them.
There you go. That's great.
We see them once a year, but they still come back.
They
know
us. Yeah, they do. So sidebar on that, back in November I was in Charleston, South Carolina. Xavier played in the Charleston Classic. I'm a huge Xavier basketball fan. If you listen to this show, you know that. And we were there for 4 days. The first day we were there, there were eight colleges in Charleston, South Carolina. Right down the street from our hotel was a bar called the John King Bar at the corner of John and King Streets in Charleston. When we got done with our meal and we had a couple of beers, the waitress put a personal note handwritten. Glad you stopped in. Know you're going to be here a few days. Stop back in. We went back in there every day because of that waitress. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. And if Xavier plays back there again, you'll be back in that same place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I might even take my wife to Charleston now that I've been there and take her to the John King Bar. You never know. That is just something that I'm really proud of you for, having these longtime employees. It's really, really hard to do. And I know enough restaurateurs to know that it's really difficult in your business.
Probably what I'm most proud of is the tenure that a lot of the employees have with me, with my mainly management and bartenders, but also in our kitchen, which if you've ever worked in this industry, you realize how hard kitchen staff is to get.
It's hard work.
Our average tenure in the kitchen is over 18 years.
That is fantastic. That certainly helps with the menu. So you mentioned Ryan Deem. Who are some of the famous people that have stopped into the bar over the years that maybe were playing concerts here or playing against the Colts or the Pacers or whatever?
We've had a little bit of everybody stop in over the years. I mean, we were, from a sports standpoint, we were Peyton Manning's after-game bar.
Awesome.
Which was always a blast.
Yeah, yeah. What a fun guy.
Really nice man.
Nice guy.
Nice man.
Nice guy.
And one of the pictures we got when he first moved into town, I'm wearing one of his jerseys. It's autographed by him, and I'm bartending, and I'm waiting on him and his girlfriend, which is now his wife.
That's so cool. That's cool. Who else? Who's from out of town?
I have lots of people.
Can you think of anybody?
Neil Diamond. We threw out Neil Diamond's bodyguard because he started kind of getting mouthy with one of our waitresses, and he just kind of got picked up and carried out of the door. I mean, there was no incident, and he's screaming, "Well, who's going to watch Neil?" And we're like, "Well, the same people that were watching you."
That leads me to another question. How often do you have to throw somebody out of the bar?
It doesn't really happen very
often. Not very often? Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty minor. I mean, we're with the music and the age bracket that's normally in there, there's...
It's not a biker bar.
It's not, right? It's not a problematic
yeah.
bar.
That's cool. So if somebody wants to know who's playing at the Noodle, what's your website?
It's slipperynoodle.com, www.slipperynoodle.com, or The Slippery Noodle on Facebook.
The Slippery Noodle on Facebook. Hal Yagi, the owner of the oldest bar in Indianapolis and a former student of mine back in my teaching days. Thanks for being my guest on the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.
Thanks for getting in contact with me. I appreciate it. I'm glad we were able to connect. And actually, I think this started about a year ago when I sent you an email and said, "Hey, let's go get a beer."
You did, and we still got to do that, right? Maybe I'll stop in before a Pacer game sometime. So next week's guest, Aaron Story with Elevate Indianapolis. And don't forget to stay tuned directly after this show for the DJ Lucky Menace Show with our technician, Pace Whitecamp. And it'll feature a collection of lo-fi beats for relaxation and unwinding after a long day. See you next week on the Indy's Trusted Servant Show.